This message, entitled "The Goal of Easter They Would Never Have," was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on Easter Sunday, April 17th, 2022, by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr. The scripture reference is Luke 24:1-12.
This passage is kind of like a funnel through which the totality of God's character and the requirements are narrowed down to just a single word, and that word is love. I'll show you what I mean. Let's begin with God's character. He's pure, he's holy, he's blameless, and all his thoughts, all his motives, all his attitudes, all his actions, he expects us to reflect his character. So he gave us the Old Testament law, which with its regulations and statutes, the law is summarized in the New Testament of Exodus chapter 20, okay? Now, the new commandments, the Ten Commandments, in turn fall into two divisions. The first four concern our relationship with God, and the last six are about his relationships with others. We've showed you this before in the Ten Commandments and how it all comes together. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said that the entire Old Testament law could be boiled down into two statements: love God and love others. When we genuinely love God, we'll automatically keep the first four commandments. When we love others, we'll show it by observing the last six. If we love God, for example, we will not take his name in vain or have anything in our lives that eclipses him. If we love others, we'll not bear false witness, we'll not steal, we'll not covet what they have. These four commandments summarize the ten, which encapsulates the entire law of God and reflect his holy character. And these two commandments are both summed up with the word love. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you know, you'll have to bear with me a little bit on this, because that's part of what's wrong with me. I can't read. It's difficult for me to read. Okay? It's like stumbling over the words. Can't quite get it. And that's what you just saw me go through this, and it wasn't really easy to read. So we have to bear with one another on these kind of things. It's one of the things that's supposed to be taken away when this thing is worked on, when this thing is cured. So I'm looking forward to that, because I do count on reading. All right? And the sense of that kind of goes away when you got this thing going on. I mean, it almost makes you want to just, you know, and let some fluid out and then go on with things, but that's not the way it's done. So praise God. So this is really the goal of Easter. The goal of Easter, praise God. Luke 24, 1-12. Let me turn there and show you what I'm talking about. There we go. Luke 24. You know, I can almost picture myself having to get out a, you know, one of these gizzies. we talk about, you know, pushing a button and run through 12 verses, 14 verses, or whatever. And that's if I don't get my reading back. You know, that we could still do that, and you could listen to it right from the computer. And I suppose that's what some people have to do if that's not one of the things that is alleviated. Okay? So, but let's just try it. Luke 24. Luke 24, and it's the first 12 verses I think I want to look at. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared. This, of course, is Luke's version of the Easter story. Bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, praise God. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces into the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told them these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths and laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now listen, you can know it's all true because God said so. There's no falsehood in it. The resurrection of Jesus is absolutely confirmed by the following facts, and they are facts. First, the empty tomb. If the enemies of Jesus had taken his body, they would have shown it to prove that he had not risen. Do you understand that? If the enemies of Jesus had taken his body, they would have shown it to prove that he was not risen. If they had the body, they'd just show it to everybody. Then he would be clearly not risen. But they did not do that. If the disciples, they would have never sacrificed their lives and their possessions for what they knew was to be a lie. So if what they were talking about was a lie, it wouldn't get them anywhere. Praise God. Nobody would. That would be so stupid. They would never have done that. You see that? That's the goal of Easter. They would never have done something as stupid as that. Secondly, the existence, the power, the joy, and the devotion of the early church. They would never have done it. Okay, they would never have done it. If Jesus had not risen and appeared to them, they would never have changed from the despondency to unheard of joy and courage and hope. They would never have done it that way. They wouldn't have. They couldn't have. Thirdly, the writing of the New Testament was written by men giving their lives to the truth and the righteousness taught by others. They would never have taken the trouble to write about a Messiah and his teaching if his ministry had ended in death and disillusionment. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. Getting there. That looks like it right there. 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 12-19. Here it is. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how they say, some among them, some among you, that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God. Beneath we have testified of God that he has raised up for Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead not be raised up. If in this life we only have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Well, praise God, we're not most miserable because we've got Jesus.
The baptism in the Holy Spirit and his accompanying manifestations within the church, that the Holy Spirit was poured forth at Pentecost as an experiential reality, is proof that Jesus had risen and was exalted at the right hand of God. If Christ had not risen, there would have been no experiential baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lastly, throughout the last 2,000 years, millions of lives have been changed. That, my friends, would have never happened without the risen Lord. Get it? Such is the goal of Easter.
And now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. See, if you're gonna prove Jesus to be risen from the dead, you don't show everybody a dead body. Came to pass that as they were much perplexed thereabout, and thereby two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? See, you just wouldn't do that. That's what this is all saying. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't dig out this dead body and show everybody because you're trying to show he's alive. It's pretty obvious, really. If you're going to show a dead body, that's not going to make your point. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And it came to pass that as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you doing that? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. They remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. They believed them not. And then arose Peter. Hallelujah. Then arose Peter. And he ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. Praise God, they knew that they had yet to still see Jesus. It doesn't do their case any good to show him a dead body. Jesus was alive. Alive forevermore. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's alive. Alive forevermore. Glory be to God Almighty. He's alive. I said he was alive. Hallelujah. Alive, alive, alive. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. And they saw him. They saw him, and they knew that if they could just see him, they would know he's alive. Right? If they could just see him, they would know he's alive. Right? Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. That's how true this whole thing was. That's how glorifying this whole thing was. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It was Mary Magdalene. It was Joanna. It was Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. And they believe them not. Well, can I just say, too bad. Amen? He's alive. Alive forevermore. And that's all that needs to be known. That's all that needs to be seen. Praise God. And then arose Peter And he ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Hallelujah. Idle tales. That's what they thought. But it wasn't true. Amen. There was nothing idle about them, and they certainly weren't just tales. They were God's truth. Praise the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this glorifying of your heart, dear God, this day. And how the disciples, they didn't need to see. They didn't need to know it. They didn't need to grab a hold of it and believe the truth of the matter. They needed to. And I thank you for that, dear God. You're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. We want to exalt you and lift you up because we know that you are right. And we know this is true. We know it. We know it. Glory be to God. We know it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name we pray. We know it. Jesus be praised. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name be glorified. Be our everything. Be our everything, Lord, even as we delve into this thing, dear God, and desire, Lord, for you to show us and reveal it to us. You are worthy to be praised. We want to thank you, Lord, that you are Lord over all things. You are God. And we want to thank you, Lord, that you are just that. You are Lord. In the name of Jesus, will shine forth. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. One baptism in the Holy Spirit and his accompanying manifestations within the church, that the Holy Spirit was poured forth at Pentecost as an experiential reality, is proof that Jesus had risen and was exalted at the right hand. If Christ had not risen, there would have been no experiential baptism of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, throughout the last 2,000 years, millions of lives have been changed. How many people truly believed in Jesus and the power of his holy word in those last 2,000 years? These last 2,000 years. These last 2,000 years where Jesus has been seen. Amen? Where he has been lifted up. Where he has been glorified. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. If Christ had not risen, there would have been no experiential baptism of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, throughout the last couple thousand years, millions of lives have been changed. That, my friends, would never have happened. Would never have happened without the risen Lord. Now you got to get that, because that's what the goal of Easter really is, to see the risen Lord. Amen? Do you see all these phrases that are sprinkled throughout the scriptures here? They would never have done that. They would never have done that. They would never have taken the trouble to write about the Messiah and his teaching if his ministry had ended in death and disillusionment. My friends, never expect Jesus to do the wrong thing, to give the wrong agenda, to give the wrong point. He's always going to point to a living Lord. Hallelujah. For why? Because he is the living Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.